Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are heading into the entrepreneurs panel. It's amazing. We have three of the top entrepreneurs here live giving us their insights. We're also having a competition for those people who want to win a free executive coaching session. You just need to SMS on 4001. What's the difference between the traits of a top performer and the traits of an average performer, which is the PC term for like a non-performer, but we'll just leave that alone. It's, you know, let's focus on the top performer. If you know, we have some people here. Farrell is SMSing in: a recipe for success is having a vision, looking at the big picture, passion, and positive attitude. If you think you have a better one, send it in. If you send it in at 4001. And we're also having a free event on Sunday, November 30th at 7 p.m. at the Kane University of Dubai, the Red Theater. There's going to be about 200 people there, and it's free. And it's about helping you get more, become more successful. And we'll be doing a 30-minute presentation on how to negotiate your salary, how to find out what you're worth, what's your market value, how do you tackle that question. And then we're going to be talking about driving peak performance in your career and in your organization. And that will be led by a team of CEOs and CFOs, namely the managing partner of Deloitte for the Middle East and North Africa. We'll also have Ziad Makazumi, the CEO of Faki IVF, one of the leading fertility clinics and former CFO of ArabTech, the largest publicly traded construction company in the GCC, and the CEO of Al Bareej, one of the leading private equity firms in the region, and a real guru in the field of private equity. And then we'll also have the group CFO of Aqua Power, one of the leading utilities companies. I mean, three of these guys have gone bankrupt. They're going to be talking about how you really drive yourself to the top of your business, how you pick yourself up when you've fallen down. You know, if things aren't going well for you, if you're not really quite hitting stride, or you're hitting stride and you want to run faster, this is an event you want to come to. It's November 30th, 7 p.m., Canadian University of Dubai in the Red Theater. It's free. It's live. It's going to be amazing. But let's get to something even more amazing. It's the Entrepreneurs Panel, something I'm personally really looking forward to. Our first entrepreneur is Pramod Dalwani, and then we also have Mary Manuel, Mike Otten. Let's hear a little bit about their backgrounds. We've prepared a little piece for you to ramp you up.
Marie-Manuel Chilingarian is the CEO and founder of M Luxury Group, which is a consultancy firm she founded in 2013 and which supports high net worth clients and brands in the Middle East. Marie graduated as a top student of the prestigious Cartier Luxury MBA Sup de Luxe in Paris. Marie is also an actress and TV presenter. Pramod Dalwani is the CEO and founder of IFC Group. IFC stands for Intelligent Finance Consultants, a business that provides many finance-based services, among them business, trade, and project finance. He's also a fellow member of the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales, with 20 years of international experience in business advisory practices, entrepreneurial business, and multinational companies. Mike Otten is the CEO and founder of Sense4Things. Mike's company is a high-tech company that delivers the Internet of Things, the technology to reduce its customers' energy bills, their carbon footprint, and operational costs. Most clients are from the oil and gas and food and beverage industry, or active in the facility management of hotels, and even smart cities like Masdar are among Mike's clientele.
That is quite a mix of businesses here, so there's a little something for everybody tonight. Pramod Dalwani, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
And Mary Manuel.
Hi.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
And welcome.
Thank you.
And Mike Otten, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, it's great to be here. Thank you.
And so you guys all took the plunge and jumped into starting your own business. I mean, maybe you can just tell us how, you know, quickly, because there's three of you, so, you know, you got to leave time for the other one here now. But just give us a little idea of, you know, what prompted you to start your business. And just let's start with that. So why and how did you start your business?
Well, I was working with a large conglomerate in Dubai, and During recession, I identified that there was a niche for providing a professional finance consultancy. So in 2012, I felt the market was recovering, and that was the right time to set up and assist, work with the SME business here. So that was my motivation.
So you're fresh entrepreneur here, 2012.
2012, yes.
Just 2 years old.
Absolutely.
And so you're still full of energy, and your ambitions haven't, dreams haven't been crushed yet by them. I'm just joking.
They have been crushed a few times, but we've got up. It's the nature of being an entrepreneur.
Is it? You have to have a tough skin, is it?
Absolutely.
Mary, and please tell us, how did you start your company? What was the genesis?
I used to work for Christian Dior in Paris, and I moved to Dubai to work for Cartier Group, for IWC. And I started my company in 2013. The reason, I think, because I always wanted to do that. I'm from an entrepreneur family, so it was always my goal. So I learned from the big brands, and then I started up my project in Dubai. And I think as a luxury consultancy company, Dubai is the place. To me, Dubai is the luxury brand itself.
So we have a finance consultant and a fashion consultant here. Very interesting. Mike, please tell us how you started and what was the genesis of your business.
Yeah, well, after 15 years working for a large corporate international organization, being an expatriate for 10 years, basically having turnaround companies that start up for those companies in the most creepy places in Africa. It came to a point that actually people started to ask me, why don't you start your own business? So at the point where actually this large corporate started to ask me if I would like to go to China or to India to do the next assignment, I said maybe we should have a different kind of conversation. And that came me to a point actually to start up my business. So it was not with the intention to create a better life for other people or having a other ambitious goal. Basically, the reason for starting up my company is very straight, simple, and forward: is to make money.
Get the cheddar. That's an American saying, maybe, which might be lost at this particular moment. But anyway, that's excellent. So I always argue, though, that if you really want to make money, don't start your own business, right? Because, you know, when the tough times, when the money's not coming in, you'll quit, right? And you saw a lot of, you know, there was a lot of CEOs of, say, investment banks, 2006, 2007, thought they were in the land of milk and honey, went out, started their own shop, crisis came, and they just hung up the boots, you know, and they didn't pull through, right? So, I don't believe you that you're just doing it for money, actually. But, okay.
No, we do this definitely to bring the planet a better life.
That's
what makes me up to wake up and to go to my job and to hunt my customers to pay me in time and to get my cash flow running. That's what we are doing it for. Right?
You need a superhuman constitution to run your own business, right? So you have to have a place where you dig down and find that extra energy from. But what's been the biggest challenge? Maybe we can go around and Pramod, you get to be in the hot seat because you're going to start again with you. You know, what's been the biggest challenge so far running your own business?
The biggest challenge to start off was setting up, because I'm a chartered accountant, and to get the license here was the biggest challenge that we faced.
Really?
I got my chartered accountancy license after 1.5 years of starting the process.
Really?
Till then, we were providing other services, but that was the biggest challenge. The second thing which comes after that is attracting the right talent. Because here, a lot of people are coming here more so for finance, they're more of financial immigrants as opposed to professional immigrants.
What does that mean, a financial immigrant? I didn't know you had subclasses of immigrants.
do people come here for professional development, or is it mainly to earn money? Take an example. I've qualified as a chartered accountant from UK.
I thought we shook this money thing just a second with Mike, and we're back into it now. You guys are like, you guys are hungry. It's unbelievable. Okay. So your belief is that people come here just to make money?
Not all of them.
I came, Canadian, I came for the beach, you know, like a lot of people. You know, I guess you come from India, you have enough sun over there. But for us, you know, it's cold in some countries. Okay. But let's go with that. Let's say they are coming for money. What's
getting the right talent who will be here to work with you, develop with you, and progress with you. That's really been the second biggest challenge.
So people you feel are going to split.
Absolutely.
And so you're hesitant then to invest in their development.
True.
Which makes them more likely to split.
No, I'm not hesitant in it. I take a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I strongly believe in training and letting the person grow. My biggest aim is that the people who have worked with me become more successful than me. That is what I would be very, very proud of. That, yes, I've done something.
So you'll be like maybe Bruce Henderson when he created Bill Blaine. Bruce Henderson was the founder of BCG. He was so obsessed with competition that he created internal competition so fierce that Bill Bain started Bain & Company. And
the rest is history.
So you should be careful what you wish for. But getting good people, obviously, is a challenge, especially when you're starting up. Not that a lot of people aren't attracted to the volatile world of a startup. Mary, what's been your biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge for me is to... first, to know what you want to do exactly, because maybe you start with an idea, but then you have to adapt to the market and see like if you actually have a demand for what you want to offer to the market. So I think you have to adapt. Like the first year, maybe you come with something in head, and then you constantly change your offer, what you're offering to your clients. So that's the first challenge. The second one, maybe it's learn how to upgrade all your skills, because maybe you're a good accountant or maybe you're good in one specific sector, but then being an entrepreneur, it's a different game. Like you have to be good in every different things, like online communication, social media. It's so strong nowadays, so you have to be updated with everything. And finance was my weakness, so I had to learn about this. I learned how to make a website. I'm currently learning Arabic. So basically, you have to learn so many things that you didn't think you would need. So you're not specific anymore. You just have to know so many things. So that's a challenge as well.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, you're saved by the bell here, because we just have to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back to find out what Mike's biggest challenge was. So we can see there's quite a few challenges on the horizon for anyone waiting to take the plunge. Hopefully we haven't discouraged you. We're going to give you more insight into what it takes to start a business in the UAE in just a minute.
Dubai I-103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. We're having a competition here for anybody out there who thinks they can identify the traits of a top performer versus the traits of the average performer. You can SMS us at 4001. That's 4001, or use the mobile app that you can download from DubaiEye1038.com. Here we have a few of our contestants sending in their answers for the big prize. And here's one that is CHIP, community, happiness, integrity, and passion is one of the traits of a leader. Hassim Sally Ahmed, he says efficiency, think out of the box. Here comes someone who's that's a separate comment, which sorry. So let me just introduce her. I guess we're in a very exciting moment here on Eye on Careers. We have the entrepreneurs panel. And so what we've done is we've taken some of the top entrepreneurs from the region in different sectors, different businesses, talking about what it takes to start a business in the UAE. So if you're thinking about it, when you hear what they've gone through, you may stop thinking about it. But but here's our panel, which is Pramod Dalwani, the Chief Executive Officer of IFC Group, Intelligence Finance Consultants. Pramod, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
Did I say your last name right? Dalwani?
Dalwani is correct. Dalwani, yes.
Excellent. There we go. And Mary Manuel, she's the founder of M Luxury Group. Welcome to Eye on Careers, Mary.
Thank you.
And Mike Otten, the CEO and founder, Sense for Things. Welcome.
Yes, thank you very much.
And so we have your three a trilogy of entrepreneurs here. Pramod, we had someone here responding to your comment about people just come here for money. So over 20 years ago, they told me people come here for two reasons. They're running away from something or someone. Or number two, they're plain crazy. Like you and me, we came for the beach and sun. I think he's referring to me, so I guess... He didn't leave a name though, or she. It could have been. I don't know. I don't know if I was being sexist there, assuming it was a man. But anyway, Mike, don't laugh too hard because you're in the hot seat now. It's your turn to tell us what's the biggest challenge running your business.
Yeah, well, running your business and driving a startup company, definitely one of the criteria to become successful is to focus and. The key to focus is that, especially if you have a brilliant idea or a genius product that could be embraced by maybe many companies or by many other people who would like to adapt your innovation, you could be very easily distracted by getting a lot of calls or making a lot of quotations or any other distracting activities. And it will take away your focus on actually the target group which you actually would like to introduce your product and actually become profitable. So I think if you start up and you don't have a massive venture capital funding in your company and you cannot start hiring loads of people from day one, and you have to start small, I guess, like most of us as entrepreneurs, first key is to focus. To focus on where you plan actually started it and where your roadmap was planned to go to.
Isn't that the gift, though? Because I always think that, you know, and I find that you, Mary and Mike here, have said the same issue in totally different ways. But it's almost like in one sense you're saying if you had all that money, you wouldn't have the opportunity to find your revenue stream. And that was one of the things that Murray said, is that when you start out, your idea is X, but you start to realize, where is the actual money? What are people willing to pay for? And if you are caked up with all this extra dry powder or cash, you're not really worried about that, and you don't find out where the money is until you're out of it sometimes. So I don't know if that's almost a gift. And then, you know, you're saying focus, and she's saying, oh my God, I have to know so many skills. I have to know how to run a website. I have to know finance. I have to know that you have to know how to do everything, right? It's almost like you're watered down, that you can't really, you know, do the things that your personality is best at creating value to do, because you're forced to operate in your weak spots as well. But nobody answer all at once, please. So let's go on to the next question. Huh? Did you going to say something? No? There we go.
Sorry.
Thank you.
It's as an entrepreneur, yes, you're stretched in all directions, but the key is to identify your strengths, and there are a lot of good outsourcing companies which can help you achieve your goals. So you can focus on what you do best and you work with the right partners. That is an important skill. Because if you try and do everything, you'll achieve nothing. That's what I've felt. So hence, I've got the right partners with me who help work with me.
Oh, and you have partners in your business.
No. No, these are just pure,
figuratively.
Pure figuratively partners whereby we work together. I have my strengths. They have their strengths. Marketing is not my strength. So I've got a person who is good at marketing. We have a barter system. It works perfectly.
Okay. So yeah. I go ahead, Mary?
Yeah, I think that in the beginning, like to make your vision like becomes reality, you have to try everything in your business. Like, you know, in McDonald's, they do this process that even if you're a top manager, you have to go and make French fries. I think to me, it's like the vision I have for my business. I want to be able to do every little step before I actually have the money to hire people to do it for me. Like in the beginning, obviously, except like if you have big capital, you can hire people to do every different like steps in your business. So if you do it as well, you understand it better. So you create the process and then you hire people to work in your company. So that's why I think in the beginning, you need to kind of touch a bit of everything.
Yeah, it's also depending on the type or the format of the business model actually that you are acting in. If you yeah. are in basically selling commodities, of course your cash flow is immense importance, and your stock management and all those kind of triggers to make your business successful. If you're in consultancy, you have other drivers and triggers to do it. But definitely, I agree that outsourcing is a great tool to let you keep focused on actually what kind of goals you want to achieve and actually why you actually started this company.
But isn't it though when you outsource, you're spending as much time managing the outsource person as would be to do it yourself almost? I find that sometimes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say outsourcing of just to a single person, but actually outsourcing like financial activities or outsourcing right. your PR or outsourcing actually. There are plenty of activities that you can go for professional outsourcing services.
Right, right. I was wondering, one of the strategies to take on both kind of what you're saying is to let me focus on what I need to do, and what Pramod was saying was that talent, getting the right talent as a smaller company is always a challenge. If you are maybe creating relationships with other SME companies, like you said, this barter system or these symbiotic relationships that together create a trellis as formidable as what maybe a multinational may be able to come to the table with. I don't know if any of you have tried this or you do work with other SMEs in tandem to deliver value to clients.
One of the examples that I work very closely with, one of the services I provide is CFO services. This is for SME sector who can't afford or don't have a requirement for a full-time CFO. So rather than hiring a junior person and saying, here's the CFO, we go in once, twice a month and sort of work on their strategies and help them achieve. One of the complementary services that I work with another gentleman, he provides CEO services. So he effectively works as a chairman of
That's
the board.
That's a nice job. So you go in for 2 days, be the CEO and leave? How do you get that job? That's fun.
We've tied hands and we are providing an outsourced board. People who've got 25 plus years of experience, you won't get those as an SME. So these are this is a way of doing it.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't even know that job existed. That you could be an interim CEO. That's fantastic. I don't know if I qualify, of course, but I do talk a lot and I don't do much.
That's pretty close. Yeah, you're getting close.
So, Mary, do you exercise any of these strategies, or what's your approach to bridging the talent gap as an SME?
I think I'm too small. So for me, outsourcing basically means like finding mentors. So I find like skills which I don't have, because obviously you cannot know everything about everything, but I get this skills from mentors that have helped a lot in my company. So
And Mike?
Yeah, the type of business that we are acting in, that's a very big hype at the moment called the Internet of Things, which is right now in the peak of getting more mature. And for us, it's actually not a big challenge to get advisory board members in the company that do the coaching or to give you good recommendations.
Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. So, what are some, when you guys talked about your challenges, no one mentioned cash flow. And you know, on one hand, when you look at an SME, the banks say, and it's too bad that Peter's gone now. You know, we could have got him, you know, if he was here. But, you know, they say, oh, we want to support the SME space and SME, and we're all SME. And then, you know, no credit facilities, no loan facilities, no nothing. You don't even get an RM until you're like $30 million in your account. I was like, what? That's an SME, really? It's like, okay. So you get no facilities to manage your cash flow from the banks. And then your clients are like, yes, if you do the work now, we'll pay you next year. It's like, you know, they're doing everything to drag out, as the CFOs, as you know, yes, to drag out your accounts payable. And so as an SME, how do you survive this? Do you guys have this issue at all? Because, or you just didn't want to talk about the money issue on here? Pramod, you've been pretty good at taking the hot seat, so we'll start with you.
But I've been lucky whereby we are in the consultancy. We are not in a product selling. So we don't have a requirement to buy things first before selling it on. My main cost is the staff and the rent. In terms of cash flow management, one of the most important things, it's a cliche. The cliche is if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that is very, very true in real life. So cash flow management is absolutely critical. As CFO services, as an advisor, that is the first thing which we look at.
But you get paid up front, or are you paid?
My payment terms are upfront 50% and 50%.
Oh, that's nice.
The day I deliver. That's not a day later. The day I deliver.
But then they'll say we'll pay in 30 days at best.
Fair enough. We take it.
I mean, 30 days is that's fine, right? But it's when you get into the people who want to do the 120 day plus. Then you just, you know, it's difficult. You can't manage that. If all your clients did that, yeah, it'd be game over.
Yeah. But there are certain banks, because we do arrange. I've got clients whereby they do work with projects where there's a big cash flow shortfall. And that's where the relationships with the banks work out. And we do help our clients bridge those gaps. Well, difficult, but it's done.
This is Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And this is the Entrepreneurs Panel. So if anyone's ever thought of starting their own business, they want to know what the challenges are, just keep on listening. We have three of the top entrepreneurs here in Dubai talking about what the challenges are, what the obstacles are, what the things to look out for are, and most of all, where the money is. So stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. Sorry if I sound a bit off this evening. I'm a little bit sick, but happy to be here. And I also wanted to just give you a quick heads up about a free event on Sunday, November 30th, where we look at peak performance, driving peak performance in your career and in your organization. We have a killer lineup of CEOs and CFOs coming to talk on a panel about it. We have the CEO of Faki IVF, the leading fertility clinic in the GCC, and also the former CFO of ArabTech, the largest publicly listed construction company in the GCC. Also, we'll have the office managing partner of Deloitte for the Middle East and North African region, as well as the CEO of Al Barij International, one of the leading private equity groups in Oman. We also have the group chief financial officer of Aqua Power, one of the leading utilities companies, all talking about how they built their careers and how they drive peak performance in their own organizations. Three out of four of these guys have experienced bankruptcies, either, you know, led companies that at some point lost their keel, or in fact in their own lives faced huge travesties. So if you're feeling down, or things just aren't really going your way, here's people who made it to the top of their game. You can come and listen to them live. You can interact with them, ask them questions. You know, and there's going to be about 200 other people there. It's a really great event. It's free, and it's just designed to give you a little bit of a faster, stronger stride as you move forward towards your goal. Also be doing a presentation on how to negotiate your salary. What's your market value? How much are you worth? How do you figure that out? A lot of people are challenged with it. You probably shouldn't try to negotiate your salary if you don't know how much you're worth. That's just one piece of advice, but hey, don't listen to me. But again, if you want to, you can come out on November 30th, 7 p.m. But coming up right now, we have the Entrepreneurs Panel, which is pretty exciting. And another exciting thing is our competition we're having, where people have been SMSing in their idea of what a top performer is. What are the traits of a top performer? If you know what it is, SMS us at 4001. That's 4001. And now let's start with this entrepreneurs panel. We got some of the top entrepreneurs from Dubai all here in one room to talk about what it takes to be an entrepreneur. We have Pramod Dalwani, the Chief Executive Officer of IFC Group, Intelligence Finance Consultants. Pramod, welcome back to Ion Careers.
Thank you very much.
We have Mary Manuel, the CEO and founder of M Luxury Group. Welcome back.
Thank you. Musa.
And Mike Otten, the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Sense 4 Things. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
And so we were just talking about, you know, managing cash flow and how challenged that can be in an SME environment with no credit facilities and some of the more challenging payment practices that we see in the region. Mike, what's your take on managing cash flow and dealing with your accounts receivables / credit facilities challenge as an SME owner?
Yep. The subject of cash flow is actually the most boring subject, I think, that we actually can come up with. I think any...
That's how
any
you said at the break. You're like, yeah, give me that question.
Yeah, sure. But basically, any entrepreneur or anyone who would like to start his own business, the last thing that he is going to think of is actually about his cash flow. And actually, this should be the first subject on your agenda on how am I going to finance my business, and you don't have the working capital in place. Yeah, then basically don't even think starting your business, because you have to pay the bills. And if you don't have any credit lines, you have to pay it today if you want to have the service delivered today. And if you don't have a unique product or a unique solution that your customer is actually willing to pay you up front, then basically you are in trouble right away when your own capital is gone, and your capital is gone before you know.
So it's not such a savory offering. Why would someone want to be an entrepreneur? I mean, is it being an entrepreneur for everyone? Let's continue battering Pramod here. So Pramod, is being an entrepreneur for everyone?
I believe it's for everyone who enjoys a roller coaster ride in their life. You've got to be going high, low, all over the place. But again, you can plan for it, and you have to have the passion for it. If you have the passion, yes, it's for you.
So you need to be passionate, and you know, if you feel like you're going to die in every corner and twist and turn on the road, then it's for you. So that's basically what you're
saying. Absolutely. And you got to enjoy it. You got to have fun.
Okay, so you need to have a risk appetite, a bit of adrenaline junkie at heart, perhaps we have here. Mary, what is being an entrepreneur for everyone?
I think you definitely need to be a bit crazy to be an entrepreneur. I think there was like a study in America that say that most of the entrepreneurs there are actually insane. So I think it's true. I think being an entrepreneur, it's everyone can be an entrepreneur. I believe that strongly, but I don't think it's for everyone. Definitely not. For example, myself, I was like push myself because people might be scared like to start their own company. But I always like thought like in France, there is this like small guys in the street, like having like, you know, small shops, like selling things 24 hours, like grocery shop. And I always thought like they don't know maybe how to read or how to write or how to speak French properly, but still they're managing their own business. So I always like respect them. And I thought like if they can do it, then I can do it myself. So I think, yes, everyone can be an entrepreneur. Like it's not, there is no rocket science. People are scared of it, but actually it's not like so hard to become an entrepreneur. You can just do it in one day. But the main thing is not how to be an entrepreneur, it's how to survive and how to like maintain your company over like the first like few years, because that's the main purpose. Like you don't want just to start and has you're saying like spend all your savings and then just go back to looking for a job. So yeah, but it's definitely a crazy experience. Like it's hard. It's
did you just confess to being crazy on the radio?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, and Mike, is being an entrepreneur for everybody?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. I would definitely not agree that everybody who has the luck to be on this earth, who can find a job, has a choice of making a decision of being an entrepreneur, yes or no. I think actually a lot of people on this planet, they are more or less kind of forced to become an entrepreneur because there is no other opportunity for them available. But if you make the choice, if you want actually to be an entrepreneur, then if you set the right objectives and the goals that you want to go for, then there is a possibility, as long as you are realistically, to become one. Yes, definitely.
Have any of you thought of quitting? Like, everyone, you know, woke up one morning and you're like, forget this, it's not worth it. I'm going to go get a job. And
yeah, twice a day.
Yeah.
Twice a day?
You every
think?
Day.
And Mary, yes.
Every day.
And every day?
Once in a while.
Once in a
once
while.
Once in a while.
So,
yeah.
So the adrenaline junkie's like, no, I love that feeling that I'm going to die. It keeps me going. So I was on a panel and I asked Ihsan Jawad, the founder of LeMoon.com and the founder of Zawiya.com. And, you know, he's one of these fantastic serial entrepreneurs. And someone from the audience asked him, you know, do you ever feel like quitting? And when was the last time you felt like quitting? And he was like, this morning. But he was hilarious. But it is that trying, right? You're just pushing yourself absolutely to your limits. I mean, what about branding and marketing now as you look at it from a business perspective? I mean, 20 years ago, you needed to have a couple million dollars to advertise a product. Today, splash page on Facebook, you know, $300, you reach, you know, 100,000 people. Maybe you guys can talk about some of the ways that you're marketing or approaching your business, or what's your approach to marketing or creating your brand. Pramod, should we go the other way? Let's start with Mike this
yes.
time.
Yes.
Yeah? Are you ready? No, okay, you're ready. Okay, Mary. Okay, please, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I don't know if you noticed this huge yellow suitcase, what is here on your desk, my friends.
Oh, we were about to call
yeah,
security
yes,
about
yeah.
this,
okay,
but we weren't
okay.
too sure.
Well, actually, if you would hashtag on Twitter, hashtag yellow suitcase, you will spot that it is on Dubai Eye, live on the radio right now. So these are the small tools which can make a massive impact, actually. The cost for it is very, very small. It goes in with basically very little efforts on your during your daily job. You can place some posts on Facebook. You can set up your own fan page, even... the smallest activities don't have to cost a fortune, but again, depending of course on your target group, on where you would like to push your products and what kind of channels to market you are selecting. But like you said, a couple of years ago, you really needed to have a massive marketing budget to position your brand. And these days, with all those platforms available, I wouldn't say completely free of charge, but definitely it's much more approachable and to enter in a kind of advertisement activities.
Right. And Pramod, you look pretty attentive, and Maori's looking at her shoelaces. So I ask you, Pramod, how do you approach your branding?
My services, it's not about products. It's about developing good relationship with the clients. So very early on, with a small amount of money, I realized direct advertising doesn't work for my business. So mine, since the one time that I advertised, after that I've never had to advertise, everything comes via referrals from my clients. So focusing on my service, providing the best service, and asking the clients, they are the best advertising partners for you, your clients.
So it's really understanding the buying cycle. Who, when someone's going to bring a CFO into their business, that's an intimate service. I'm not going to bring someone in I don't know. I don't know a CFO, so I'm not going to know someone that's not referred to me by someone I don't know. And so understanding that cycle was really the key for you to unlocking your revenue
Absolutely.
Cycle in the business. And that was, I think that's kind of the exploratory path that Marie was talking about, which I'm assuming her business is also word to mouth, seeing as I'm assuming you don't do much advertising as you've been strategically avoiding eye contact with me for the last 10
minutes. No, it's not about that. It's that it's true that more than advertising, what is very important, and also in my business, it's public relations. It's how you create your network. And Dubai is small, so it's easy to start to know everyone and to promote your business directly. I think it's better, but I'm also in the luxury business where image is so important. So I'm also like thinking that to have like a perfect image is very important. And like for example, before you used to have a shop, now you can have a website online. So your shop before becomes like your website. And I think the image is so important. So people might think that you are actually running a multinational if you have a nice website, when you're actually like maybe alone in your office or with a few employees. So I think yes, and it's very cost effective. Like it doesn't require so much money to get a logo and a nice website online and to have like some social media communication. So this anyone can do, and that's actually the way I started my company. I opened a Facebook page. So
this is Eye on Careers, and we are in the entrepreneur panel. We have three of the top entrepreneurs here talking about what it takes to run their business, what the challenges are, and what some of the strategies for being successful are. We'll be looking at more what it takes to be an entrepreneur in the GCC in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are in the entrepreneurs panel. We have three entrepreneurs from the UAE looking at what it takes to be successful in starting your own business in this region. And we have here Pramod Dalwani, the CEO of IFC Group. Pramod, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
We also have Mary Manuel, the founder and CEO of M Luxury Group. Welcome back, Mary.
Thank you.
And Mike Otten, the founder and CEO of Sense for Things. Welcome back.
That's it. Thank
but
you.
But I keep hearing you call it Internet for Things. So did you change the name, or it's just confusing me and you have a yellow box in front of you and stuff?
It's we really love weird. To confuse things.
That's all. So I will say no more. Are you going to? No, but do you have two names for the business? Because it says here Sense for Things. Is that wrong?
No, that's exactly what it is, sensing for things, because the market hype, what is going on right now, and in the consumer business, you can see it already with the technology of wearables, where you have Google Glass, and where at the end large corporates started to promote that actually even the refrigerator is going to order you the new milk when it's going over due date. So we are not in that side of the consumer market business of Internet of Things, but we are actually more in the industrial side of Internet of Things. And sensing for things is that we deploy wireless sensor networks, what can sense technical stuff like pressure and flow and temperature, very exciting.
So you're measuring how much energy we're using.
Yes, exactly. So we would predict for you how much energy your villa would be using in 2 or 3 months' time with your current behavior. So if that would exceed actually your budget, what you are planning to spend on your energy bill, you can actually change your behavior and actually reduce the cost. So that's what we
you can
do.
Change your behavior and reduce the amount of energy you're
yes,
using.
Or
in
have
the
chocolates.
Villa. Yes. So it's measuring how much electricity.
Yes.
That's the kind of energy
yes.
we're referring yes. to. Okay. That's fairly high tech. And so do you have like a patent on this stuff? You're licensed to use it? Or are there a bunch of people running around with yellow cases and doing this? Or are you the only one?
No, there is in this world of the Internet of Things is actually the trick is that you don't have anything exclusively, but you build the bridges between the things, so the objects. So you let the objects communicate with each other, and where actually the value proposition is that you deliver the intelligence on the data which you extract from those objects. So it's not that you have something exclusively or you have something patented in this industry, but it's actually about the knowledge which you can provide on top of the data which is already existing.
Excellent. Okay. If you guys could go back, you know, you're looking at everything you've done so far. If you could go back and change one thing or do one thing differently, what would it be? Pramod, yeah, we'll go back on.
Chocolates didn't work.
Chocolates didn't work. They were good, though.
One thing which I would do different would be to identify the time wasters. It was so easy. There were so many people who were willing to open doors and talk to you and give you so many, you can do this, you can do this. And so if you start thinking, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. But sooner or later, you have to get back to your roots. This is what I set the business for. Focus. This is what my target market is, and focus on that. Focus. You tend to lose focus because there's so much things coming at you at the start.
Mary?
I think the business plan, it's true that you need to plan like everything before, and a lot of entrepreneur tends to just jump in the water without having a very well managed plan. So if I would go back in time, I think I would just revise my plan and make it more like structured, especially for the finance.
And Mike?
If I would have the opportunity to do things again, most likely I would do everything differently again. I think the whole process of being an entrepreneur and starting up a business from startup or even going into incubation, it's a constant learning curve. And on this roadmap of constant learning, you have to adapt and you have to be dynamic and you have to adjust. As long as you keep your objectives in place and if you keep the focus going into the right direction, that's definitely something that I would not change. It's a great learning experience. That's basically what I would like to say. Would you do something differently? Of course, yes.
So what is your advice for anybody who wants to take the plunge and suffer like you three have? what would your advice be? Does anyone want to start with that? Or Mike, you look like
sure. Well, the best advice that you can give somebody in your life is that don't speak just with your family or with your friends about the great idea which you have, because they will agree anyway, because they have already trust in you. They would like to motivate you actually to do those kind of activities. Have some guts and actually go talk with the competitor. Go face a customer. And the point of making the decision of starting up your business is actually, it's only one point of decision, and that is actually that you have a customer. At the moment when you have a customer and a paying customer, you have a business and you are in business.
Right. Mary?
I would say like be prepared. Like a lot of people just jump in business without being really prepared, and I think that's a mistake. Like I would recommend that anyone wants to open a company that they start within their own job. Like if they're employed somewhere, they can just start like working on their project. As we were saying, like online now, it's easy to open a Facebook page or anything, and you can just get the feedback from the potential clients. And when you feel like there is actually a demand for what you want to offer, you can start like working on this, and then maybe potentially leave your job, because so many people leave their job with a good idea, but maybe it's not going to work. So then they end up like in trouble. So I think just be careful the way you start your business. Like be prepared.
And Pramod,
identify your USP and focus on it. Plan.
Well, great, guys. I want to thank you so much. We're quickly approaching the end of the hour here. And so, Pramod Dalwani, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and being a good sport on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And Mary Manuel, a founder of M Luxury Group, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And Mike Otten, CEO and founder of Sense for Things. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome.
And Pramod, sorry, I didn't mention your company. You're the CEO of IFC Group, the Intelligent Finance Consultants. That's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, wishing that the rest of your life is the best of your life.